Hey, hello, hello. Welcome back to Health Space with Tess Talks. If you've listened to previous episodes, if you've never listened to an episode, then welcome in general. Just a little, I guess, quick intro. I created this podcast to just talk about topics that I think are completely neglected within our school systems, you know, that can include anything from sexual education, mental health, emotional health, physical health even, and especially in, you know, this pandemic we're going through. I think it's even more important to just have these discussions and be more aware of your body and, you know, how it's run and all that stuff. So, to get into it, this episode, I want to discuss endometriosis. I actually was on Instagram the other day and I came across a video of the singer Halsey, that just some Instagram page or whatever created, and they mentioned that she has endometriosis, and for a while it went undiagnosed and she didn't understand why she was in so much pain and, you know, what were causing these specific symptoms. And I was like, oh my god, I didn't even know she had it. You know, sometimes people don't want to talk about, you know, their personal health and everything. I completely understand that, but that is really what inspired me about endometriosis, or to create this podcast. And when actually doing research, I came across a lot of celebrities that have it. Julianne Hough, Jamie Chung, I believe, who it was, Padma Latsky, I believe is her name, from Top Chef. I know she's actually talked about that before in the past as well. A couple other people that I actually can't bring to mind, but it's, endometriosis isn't actually talked about as much as it should be, because there's actually a lot of people who have it, a lot of people who, you know, the symptoms are not as severe, so it goes completely undetected. And some people struggle with their everyday life with endometriosis and, you know, have to get hysterectomies even very young of age. So that's why I wanted to have this discussion. And actually, a few years ago, I was experiencing health issues. I always make a mention, you know, my health is always, you know, up and down. But they thought I possibly had endometriosis, so that's why this episode kind of hits close to home for me as well. But going back to what is endometriosis, so endometrium means the tissue that lines the walls of the uterus, correct? So endometriosis is a gynecological, however you pronounce that word, condition, disorder, disease, whatever you like to classify it as, and it affects women. And it's when the tissue that makes up the uterine lining does not grow inside, but instead outside of the uterus. It can also actually grow in other areas of the pelvis, lower abdomen. It's even been detected on areas of the lungs. I think even upper abdomen, some organs there as well. Mainly it's around the reproductive system is where the tissue grows, the endometriosis tissue, but it has been known to grow other places as well, and I think that's when it's more severe cases. So again, it's not normal for it to grow, and it can cause extreme pain during your menstrual cycle, even off your menstrual cycle. And it affects about 2 to 10% of women of any of the ages, the childbearing ages. So, you know, when you begin puberty, whether that's 14, 15, 12, even 13, whatever, to, you know, when you're going through menopause, that's the age group that it affects. And you're more likely to get it, you know, if it's through the genetics, if you have sisters who have it, mothers, grandmothers, all of that. again, going back to the locations that it's been known to grow, like I said, the reproductive system, so it's been known to grow on or under the ovaries, on the fallopian tubes, behind the uterus. Like I said, it can travel to the bladder, even the bowels. And again, it's been even found growing on lungs. Ways to detect if you have endometriosis. Like I said, it's not talked about enough to where actually a good amount of the population, I've never even heard of it, don't even know what it is. I mean, when I was told about it, I was like, what is endometriosis? Like, what are you talking about? But signs that you may have it are signs to be aware of if you're experiencing difficulty with periods or just, you know, everyday life. Painful sexual intercourse, painful period cramps, very severe, a very heavy flow, menstrual flow, painful bowel movements, and actually because the symptoms are so alike to that of, you know, like irritable bowel syndrome or other gastrointestinal issues, especially because everything's so close down there, that it gets mistaken for other, you know, disorders or conditions. And that's going back to why they thought I had it, was because it ended up being a gastroenterological issue I was dealing with. But they went through all of the tests already to determine, okay, what is going on in your gastrointestine. Then they got to a point where, okay, we see free-flowing fluid, you know, around your ovaries. You may have endometriosis now. So that's why I got to that possibility. But after, you know, examination at the gyno office, that's when they referred me to a gastroenterologist. But that's why I just had to point that out, because it will create symptoms, you know, like we said, painful bowel movements, that it could be misdiagnosed as something else. So that's why you really have to do your research on the symptoms. You have to be very specific. When I go through my health issues, my mother has always taught me, write a journal. And if that helps keep better track, or if that helps specify specific issues that can help eliminate, you know, other possibilities of what it may be, you have to do what you have to do for your health, you know. Like I said, painful urination as well. It can cause infertility issues. It's some of the symptoms. And spotting between periods. Like I talked about my previous episode, with just basic period knowledge, I was just talking about different, you know, levels of flow, different absorption levels in tampons and pads, and some people spot in between their periods. It could be completely normal, or it could be something more serious, such as endometriosis. Like I said, painful periods, severe period cramps are a symptom of endometriosis, and just pain in general in the lower abdomen area. Why is pain such a major symptom and a common symptom in endometriosis? It's because, like we said, the uterine lining tissue is growing elsewhere, not where it should be. And it can cause swelling. It can cause blood buildup that is not easily excreted out of the body. The growths of the tissue can also increase in size as time goes on, which, you know, in turn creates the pain. It can also, the tissue growing can also push against nearby nerve cells, and in some cases, it's even been discovered that the buildup of the endometrium tissue has caused the female reproductive system to how do I say this? I don't want to say come together, but because of the buildup of the tissue, it's pulled the whole reproductive system together, squishing it in, causing severe pain. Again, that's extreme, severe cases. If you are listening to this and you're sitting here and you're saying, well, you know, I have really bad periods. I have extreme heavy periods where I'm always spotting in between periods. You know, my cramps are so severe. They will, you know, I will be off my feet for a few days, and you're starting to think, is when I have endometriosis. Ways that it is detected, discovered, diagnosed. I believe it was a CT. In my experience, what I had to go through was after they did the external ultrasounds on my abdomen, they couldn't find anything. But I was still having pain, and my pain was actually mainly in my middle of the abdomen on the right side. So that's why they did the external, because they thought, okay, this may be your gallbladder. No, your gallbladder's fine. Is it your appendix? Nope, your appendix is fine. So then they put me in for, I believe it was a CT scan, maybe it was an MRI, I don't know the difference. This is so bad, I should know. I'm pretty sure it was a CT scan. A full body scan, you go in the big machine, and they inject you with this blue dye. So it goes through the bloodstream, and you have to like sit there and wait 30 minutes for it to like really, you know, for all the blood fluid to, the blue fluid to go through your body. And then you go on the machine, you lay on your back, and they insert you into the big tube. And that's how they see more in depth than just a regular ultrasound, you know, past your organs or other parts of your body. And that's in the CT scan, is when they detected, we see free flowing fluid by your ovaries. And that's when they referred me to a gynecologist who actually specializes in endometriosis. From there, they did just a regular pelvic exam. And with the pelvic exams, the doctor inserts the fingers into the vagina, and he feels around the uterus to see if there's any scarring tissue in the uterus, check if the ovaries are all right. From my pelvic exam, we then went even further to an internal ultrasound. And an internal ultrasound is a cylindrical object device. Honestly, it's pretty much just like a plastic penis, and they double condom it up and they lube it up and they insert it into your vagina. And don't let this scare you. It's for your health. You have to do what you have to do, and the doctors make you feel as comfortable as possible. And that's where they get better digital, I guess, imaging of your ovaries and your reproductive system. Again, I had ovarian cysts. Sometimes you do get those and they can just go away naturally, and other times it is caused because of endometriosis, and it's more serious. In my case, they saw, okay, no, this is no big deal. It's more And that's when they sent me to my gastroenterologist. But I'm saying this because, again, how do you find it? I went through all the different testing to see if I have it. Like I said, CT scans, pelvic exams, internal ultrasounds, or laparoscopy. And it's when a surgeon will, they'll make a little incision under your belly button or in the belly button, and they take the device and they grab tissue from, you know, if there's tissue growing somewhere, they will take it and look at it under a microscope to get a better idea of, okay, what is this? Is this endometriosis? is this serious? Do we need to then do an even more specific surgery to remove it? So those are the different ways to find it, diagnose it, discover it. Now we're going on to, like, is it treatable? It is treatable, but you will never fully be cured from it. It's going to be something you live for forever. There's no cure for it yet. And there's not even any specific way to figure out how you get this, why you get this. They're still doing research on that, which is crazy because there's actually a lot of people that are affected with it. So again, how to treat it. There are many different ways. The common one, and again, depending on the severity of the case, is through birth control, hormonal therapy, you know, birth control with the pills or the IUDs, and, you know, estrogen pills could be another one. One that I've never heard of is aromatase inhibitors, and it's pretty much just medicine that decreases the amount of estrogen, because the estrogen is what builds up the endometrium tissue. So hormone blockers, again, it all has to do with level of hormones, specific hormones, estrogen, which is a hormone. Again, if it's, they can always surgically remove the tissue and the infections, depending on how much it is, how severe it is. If it becomes something that is so continuous, and again, it makes life unbearable and not livable, people have been known to get hysterectomies, which is the removal of the full female reproductive system, which, you know, will in turn eliminate the growing of endometriosis. But, you know, working with hysterectomies, that's a whole other episode I can talk about, because it's not really just one and done, like, okay, hysterectomy and it's over with, then, you know, you still have to get your proper female hormones, and you'll probably have to do, like I said, hormone therapy, and sometimes that hysterectomies can actually cause severe weight gain, which another symptom of endometriosis actually was weight gain as well. It's not a common symptom. I wanted to talk about more of the common symptoms, but it is a symptom in some cases. If you're experiencing any of that, just know you're not alone. And there, in my opinion, there's been, I mean, I did an essay on endometriosis, because again, I thought I was going through it. So in order to do my own research, and because we got to choose our topic of choice on a research paper back my freshman year of college, this was like 2014, 2015. From there was such little research, and now that's becoming more talked about, and, you know, celebrities and influencers, you know, politicians, all these people in the media are coming out, you know, and they're discussing it, and they're, you know, telling their story about it. It's, in my opinion, there's been so much more research now than when I tried finding research a couple years ago, which I think is amazing, because again, this affects more people than we know. If you ever are struggling with it, want advice, want not so much counseling, but one of the websites I found my research on and my information, they gave an endometriosis hotline number, and it is 1-800-994 1-800-799-9662. And in the bio, I'll describe a little bit more about what that hotline is for. It's not medical professionals, but it's just a resource hotline. And you can call it, again, resources probably, okay, in your area. These are specific doctors you can look at or specialists, you know, or there may even be resources for counseling. If you have it, don't let it go untreated. Definitely do your research. Definitely talk to your medical health professionals. Talk to, you know, your family, the females in your family. See if there's a history of it. There's, you know, go to your local library. There's probably books on it, magazines. I know a lot of, like, Women's Health Magazine, Healthline Magazine. They had some articles on it. Again, I try and get most of my research and my ideas and discussions from .org, .net, .edu's. More factual information. I'm gonna again list in my bio the resources and the websites that I found my information on. You know, due to COVID, I didn't, you know, go out to libraries and find books or magazines on it. Just because, again, you know, we're trying to social distance and some areas are still quarantining. But some of the links I chose were, of course, mayoclinic.org, uclahealth.org, womenshealth.gov, hopkinsmedicine.org, medlineplus.gov, acog.org. Definitely always do your own research if you want to use any of these links to even go more in depth to see what they have. Of course, I didn't include everything. I just included, you know, the basics, what I thought would help for someone who is seeking answers to issues they're facing right now, questions they have. And again, your health is most important and number one, especially in times like these. Although it's not scientifically proven, in most of these websites they did discuss, and if you don't want to, if you're not a big believer in chemicals and medicines, always try and get at least 2 to 3 days worth of physical activity. I know it can be very hard, but physical activity doesn't always have to be the gym. It could be dancing. It could just be going on a walk. You know, I love rollerblading. Sometimes making sure you're getting enough physical activity and making sure you are bettering what you put in your body can improve your health by a lot. I know it can be very difficult, you know, financially, time-wise. I completely understand that. But if you can just adjust a little, that may help create again, not scientifically proven, but that may just improve your overall health in general and just improving those aspects of your life may in turn improve other medical issues you're facing right now. Again, I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a health professional. I'm just someone who's trying to help the public out there, female, males, whatever, you know, whoever, what gender, sexual orientation, anything. If they're ever struggling with questions or insecurities or anything, this is my goal of the podcast, is to just talk open-ended, open forum for everyone to feel safe and comfortable. You can listen in privacy. You can even message me and ask, say, can you talk about this? Can you research that? And again, always do your own research. And what I've learned is sometimes it's okay to get a second or a third opinion. Again, this is your body. This is your health. This is your life. Okay, go to one doctor, see what they have to say or what procedures or treatment they may suggest, and then go to another one and then another one until you feel happy, healthy, comfortable, safe, confident. And I think the next episode I want to talk about is, I think I'm going to do research and discuss the positive effects physical activity can have on your mental and emotional health. I hope everyone out there is staying safe and staying healthy and staying positive. You know, this pandemic, we're going to get through it. We're going to come out stronger, better. And again, anyone dealing with any health issue, I wish you the best. Stay strong. Again, do your research, because the doctor can tell you one thing, but it's your body. You want to make sure you know what they're talking about, what they're suggesting. Again, everyone, stay healthy, stay positive, stay happy.